Practice number 7 in the books for Ohio State. We're officially halfway through spring football. That's Tim May, the 41-year vet. Andy Backstrom, Spencer Holbrook. We talked to defensive linemen and tight ends today. Yep. After we talked to their coaches, respectively, on Tuesday. And Tim, you're going to give us a big takeaway from today.
My big takeaway from today is, it's like, you know, when somebody gives you, a teacher used to give you an assignment and you have to lead off with. My big takeaway from today is, G. Scott's a leader of the tight end room. Who saw that coming 3 years ago? G. Scott looks like a tight end, plays like a tight end, has always had the hands of a wide receiver. Agreed?
Yeah.
And he also, if you go back and watch a video from last year, he also blocked his rear end off when he was in there. Become one of the better blockers on the team, much less in the tight ends room. That's my big takeaway. But my other big takeaway is the depth we're seeing bubble up. I like that term. Bubble up in the defensive line room. And one of the great examples is Hero Canoe, who got in and sporadically last year, but seemed to figure out a way to make some plays that you remember. And now that guy's being counted on is depth of that defensive line, where they'd like to play 8, maybe 10, 12 deep if they can get to it. There's a good reason why they could, because every time you see him, he looks more and more like a Big Ten, big time defensive line football player. And plus, I learned where he got the name Hero today, which his dad woke up in the middle of the night when they were about to, before he was born, and just came up with, blurted out Hero, because he didn't want to follow in the realm they had been naming their kids. I think they all started with a letter D, and he just came up with a Hero, and that's why Hero Canoe is named Hero Canoe. Two great names, right?
Yeah.
Because he'll be paddling, man, when he's in there, and he could be the hero of the day.
Andy?
Yeah, we finally talked to Kenyatta Jackson, who we've been mentioning on the show a couple times now. And
what do you mean? We were missing him last year, too.
Well, yeah, but especially recently, talking about what could have been last year and actually was an up-and-down sophomore season for him. You know, came in with all the expectations of being this guy, had an NFL-type body, and then didn't end up playing too much last season behind JT, Tui Moloau, and Jack Sawyer. But he said there was, ups and there were downs. And the downs was that he felt like, going into last year, he wanted to be the guy, and it wasn't his time to be the guy.
No.
And he said he realized that, kind of worked through that with Ryan Day, with Larry Johnson, with his family, and, you know, he was frustrated by the rotation. He felt like he deserved to be in that rotation. The fact that Larry Johnson's talking about rotating more excites him. The fact that there's a longer season excites him. I think he is more grounded in what his role can be this season. And he's really taking it and embracing it that both Jack and JT are back, and not using it as a reason to potentially leave. He said he never really thought about transferring. He was always committed to hear the brotherhood, you know, the kind of language you hear from these guys about staying with it and being patient.
Yeah, can you imagine he and Caden Curry? JT and Jack are back. JT and Jack are back. Oh. I mean, because these guys all want to play, man.
Right.
They want to play regularly, not in spot roles, and that rotation. Like, you know, we talked about this on one of these other ones, right, Spence, is that the rotation they could have on the defensive line is obvious right now, but will they do it?
My big takeaway is Bennett Christian is back on the field. He was there Monday or Sunday through Friday, wasn't allowed to play on Saturdays last year, really taking ownership of that because of a banned substance that he took, an over-the-counter banned substance that he got at a nutritional store, just like a random thing that he
didn't run it by people. Right?
Yeah, didn't run it by the right people, was told that it was banned, tested positive for it, sat out the entire year. But what I learned from him is, instead of kind of moping, putting his head down, he realized pretty quickly that he had to turn that into a positive. What's that positive? Well, his Saturdays came on Tuesdays, during Bloody Tuesdays. This program hangs its hat on Tuesdays. And while everyone else was still recovering from the Saturday games and trying to get their bodies right, that was Bennett Christian's game day. And he was on the scout team. It's not like he was running second team or third team against the scout team. No, he was the tight end for the scout team, which meant every single rep he took last year was against JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, Mike Hall, you know, whoever came out, blitzed from the outside, Jordan Hancock coming off the edge, like anybody that you thought of as like a superstar of this defense from last year, Bennett Christian had to go against them more times than anyone else in the country. And I think that is going to mean huge things for him this year. I've been high on Bennett for a while. He's one of the guys I've kind of beat the drum for, even before the suspension. I talked to him at the Peach Bowl a couple years ago after his freshman year, and I thought, hey, I think this guy's onto something. I would keep that name in the back of my head. I think that he called himself underrated, under the radar, I guess, because he was quite literally under the radar last year because he had to be. I think he might be.
He never got to take off to get on the radar.
I think he might be squarely on the radar this upcoming year.
Yeah.
Even in a tight end room, Andy, that includes Patrick Gerd, that includes Jelani Thurman. We'll let Tim talk about Jelani here in a minute. That includes G. Scott and Will Kaczmarek, who seems to be coming on and transitioning from Ohio nicely.
There's six guys in there right now, and as Tim said, G. Scott is kind of that front runner to be tight end one, but
yeah.
Patrick Gerd is someone that they consider a leader of this room as well. Jelani Thurman said that those are the two guys, G. Scott and Patrick Gerd, who are kind of taking command of this room under Keenan Bailey right now. And Pat Gerd is a walk-on guy. It seems like he could be on scholarship sometime soon. That has not been announced, and he couldn't answer about it. But the way he answered, you get the hunch that maybe that's coming sometime soon, and certainly is valued. He's got two more years of eligibility, and he's still a veteran guy already, though.
Yeah.
And
well, we saw him contribute last year.
Right, yeah, exactly. That Rutgers game, of course, G. Scott had that touchdown, almost had another that, dropped over the middle of the field, but G was kind of the star of that game, stepping in for Cade Stover, but Pat Gerd stepped up into the role that G had as tight end too. And so those guys are both certainly in the mix for snaps, but just overall leaders of that unit. I'm going to pass the baton over to you, Tim, for Jelani. We were both over there talking to him, but we finally got to speak to him in an extended time.
I dropped the baton. Jelani Thurman, I was raving about him on one of these things. First practice we got to watch last year. I went, oh my God, this guy, it's kind of like seeing Edie or somebody, big time basketball player walk out. There's these guys, and then there's this guy, and you kind of go, wow.
Yeah.
And he looked the part even back then, even though he's put on weight now, big time weight, compared to where he was this time a year ago, just coming out of high school. But he's always looked the part. And, of course, he lost his black stripe really early last year in spring. And you're kind of going, they got big-time plans for this young man. This guy may be able to help him, maybe in the red zone, a huge target in the red zone. Right on down the line, my brain starts running. But then it didn't really pan out that way for him with a few exceptions. And as he talked about, the patience you have, to learn your craft. I mean, he was not known as a big time blocker in high school because he rarely was ever asked to block, or if he did, he was blocking a peewee dude.
Yeah.
In high school, a mismatch. As he said, going against the likes of JT Tuimoloau and some of these other guys, you either get better or you get embarrassed. And he didn't say that. I'm paraphrasing, but that was his point. Was he's bought in big time to what do you call it, I'm called the nitty gritty of blocking. I mean, there's a nastiness there that you've got to cross that bridge and then get into it. And he really relishes his opportunities now to show his prowess in the blocking game. We know he can run routes. We know he can catch the ball. But that's what's going to get him on the field is that, jack of all trades, which you have to be as a tight end, especially in a place like Ohio State. You got to develop that jack of all trades thing, and he feels like he's really come along big time in that regard. We'll see. This is the middle of spring. Just like last year was the middle of spring, but I thought he was going to really play a lot and play very little. I really think he's going to play a lot this year. But like you said, the return of Bennett Christian, G. Scott's rise from 3 years ago to now, he really looks like a tight end. His dad and I've even talked about that. That's a big deal. But Jelani Thurman, you just got to figure, he's got to figure in this year.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just shows that as tantalizing as everything can look in the spring, you've got to be able to put it all together in the regular season. You've got to be able to know how to game plan for things. You've got to be able to know how to study in the fall compared to just studying your own tape in the spring. Like, just huge leaps for freshmen. And maybe we jumped the gun a little too much last spring. But it is tantalizing when you look out here
but
and
he
you
did
see
lose
that
his
skill
black
set.
Stripe,
I agree with
that's
you.
That's the point.
I agree with you. And, that does mean something, but it doesn't mean everything. And so, it's interesting. This year, he's got a big year in front of him because those guys are all there. The other guys that I think second-year guys that have a big year, Caden McDonald and Jason Moore, jumping back over to the defensive line.
Yeah.
I wrote about Jason on Tuesday because I couldn't wait. I couldn't help myself. I couldn't wait to talk to him. We talked to him. He had some really good things to say. Those two guys, I know Hero Canoe is going to be in the mix, but it kind of feels like if this defensive line room is going to go from top four really good to deepest defensive line room we've seen at Ohio State, it's going to hinge on guys like Jason Moore and Caden McDonald to be that, those guys, and to show that they can be in that mix, Andy. Like, I think this is a huge year for both of them.
Well, there's guys like Jelani who, you know, they shed their black stripe almost right away in spring ball, and then there's guys like Caden McDonald who don't get here until the summer but somehow still make an impact, and they're playing in games, meaningful games, down the stretch of the season. We saw Caden McDonald in some big moments in Big Ten games. We saw him in a fullback role at one point in the Cotton Bowl, someone that clearly has demanded snaps, and, you know, maybe not through his words, but through his play. And I think that he's just a big guy, another guy you can't really miss when you're watching those defensive linemen work. Even bigger is Jason Moore, who I think is like 6'5 or 6'6, you know, something like that. Certainly looks like he could play basketball.
295.
295 pounds. And he came
around.
In, you know, the great thing about recruiting him for Ohio State was that he could play inside or outside, but he had kind of done a little bit of both in high school. They wanted him to just focus on playing inside defensive tackle, and I think that was a bit of a transition developmental year last year. Came in the summer as well, and he's someone that maybe needed a little bit more time to just develop before he could play. But now, from everything you've written, Spencer, everything that Larry Johnson talked about yesterday, it seems like he's making a big jump this spring.
Well, and it's one thing to be 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", depending on who you ask and what cleats he's wearing that day, 295 pounds in high school, and to be able to throw bodies around because they're just not as good as you. And then I asked him about learning to use that weight and that size at a college level. And he talked about, he was really, really humble about it. I thought pretty cool to talk to him about, you know, you have to learn to use it. You know, going against guys that are, you know, big guys inside, massive offensive linemen inside, like, you have to learn to use that height. You have to learn to use that size, that weight. You know,
and that quickness.
Yeah, the quickness, the length that he's got. You know, he talked a lot about that length today. So it's not just, hey, this guy's big, he was a great high school recruit, throw him out there. Like, you have to learn to use it. And the best ones learn to use it quicker than the others. Tyleik Williams learned very quickly how to use that length and that size. JT Tuimoloau learned it maybe even a little quicker than Jack Sawyer did. Like, you have to learn to use the size. And I think Jason Moore is in the process of doing that, and that's why you're seeing this spring push from him, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is, I bring this up with all these guys when every interview, you know, what a big, like, you said it best. I mean, you're a heavyweight going against junior middleweights, if that, you know, in high school. And you're used to holding sway, even if you don't beat them off the ball. You just shove them out of the way, you know what I mean? There's a big thing to learn about the boxing match that goes on every play in the trenches in major college football, when all three of those guys in front of you, if you're a defensive tackle, and sometimes even the tackles on the offensive side, but all three of the guys you're going against on the inside there are all 300 pounds and quick and fast and strong, and they've been benching, you know, whatever, probably your weight and more,
yeah,
for a while now. To learn to deal with the boxing aspect of this, or as Larry Johnson calls it, you know, they teach a lot of Taekwondo principles, but the point is, it's a boxing match along with doing your assignment. You know, you got to fight your way to get somewhere usually, and then you got to keep fighting.
Yeah.
And the point is, you can do that play here and there, but to do that consistently is what they're looking for. And these guys, you can see all these guys, Tyleik Williams stepped up in that regard, mm-hmm. you know, from a consistency standpoint, because it's not easy, man. Like I said, I've said this a million times, I love when you're going to a game and you're seeing people throwing a football in the parking lot and they're thinking they're playing football.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. Football is between the offensive and defensive lines every Saturday. That's what makes the difference. That's why you like this football team, because you're seeing a mature defensive line being augmented by these guys that are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Same way on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to set the tone for whether this is a great football team or not. You definitely see that. And those guys we just talked about all are bubbling up at the right time.
They have to be, because Tyleik Williams said it best. He can't play 50 snaps a game.
Right.
And he did down the stretch. Not that it really shown, because he played well against Michigan. I thought he played well against Missouri. But
but
still, like, you want to be playing your best football in December and January nowadays because of the college football playoff. Caden McDonald and Jason Moore and even Hero Canoe, all three, they've got to be good. Andy, any closing thoughts before we get out of here? I'll throw the mic over to you, and then we can get out of here.
Yeah, defensive line, we know there's depth. This rotation could be huge mm-hmm. and extremely deep. For the tight ends, that's some depth they need to prove.
Yeah.
So I think that's the big difference here. We talked to these guys. It sounds like they can prove it. But we really don't know about tight end. I mean, as Keenan Bailey said the other day, they're not trying to replace Cade Stover. He's the Big Ten tight end of the year. He could be the third or fourth tight end off the board in this year's NFL draft. Mm-hmm. He had, you know, great receiving numbers. They're trying to have a tight end unit that is tough and complete and has depth. And I mm-hmm. think that talking to all these guys, you hear it, you feel like maybe it could be, you know, Bennett Christian, Will Kazmarek, you know, Pat Gerd, G. Scott, all these guys, Jelani Thurman, of course, that could provide that depth, but they need to prove it. Whereas the defensive line, it feels like we know a little bit more about what their rotation might look like, and they just have to go out and do it.
Yeah, past G. Scott, every other guy in the tight end room, I know the desire is to come out of there with five or six guys that can play, but every other guy, except for G. Scott, in my opinion, has a question mark over his head. Mm. Just like I thought G., coming out of his first year as a tight end to his second year, there was a question mark there. I thought he proved himself last year. I don't know if y'all, but if you go watch video of him blocking it, no, I'm talking about the blocking aspect of things and stuff.
Yeah.
Whether you get thrown to or not is really not up to you a lot of times. Yeah, he had one drop, noticeable drop, but really, he had a pretty good year. But now he's the exclamation point. Now the others have the question marks over him. They got to get those figured out this spring and preseason camp. Jelani Thurman has everything you're looking for in a prototype tight end, for example. Bennett Christian, same thing, but can they do it on a consistent basis?
Yeah, I think there still is a question about G, just in a sense of, okay, he was a great tight end too for Ohio State. If he's your second tight end, you're doing something correct. Like, you're doing something really well. Tight end one is a different story. Like, you've got to be what Cade Stover is, and I know they said they're not trying to replace Cade Stover, but like, you can say that, but you also have to do it. And like, I, you know, can he be that tight end one? It's something he can do, Tim. I'm not saying this.
You're parsing, but that's okay.
I'm not saying this with skepticism, but like.
You hurt my feelings what you're doing.
The difference is big. And I think that he's going to have to prove that he can be tight end one.
I agree with that. But that's why it's imperative they come out of here with at least four guys that can play tight end. And they feel good about out of spring, because guys are going to get banged up. Also, we saw Cade Stover 2 years in a row get banged up and stuff, you know. But he was out there playing on one leg at times last year, you know, in certain games when they really needed a breather, you know, when they would – and they'd get into 12 personnel, but they didn't really seem to be sold on it sometimes and stuff. I'm just interested to see with Chip Kelly's offense, you know, how he implements or uses the tight end. Implements, not the right term, but you know what I'm talking about. Deploys.
We'll finally learn a little bit about how they'll use the tight end, how the offense may – look in the early stages of spring, how the defense is going to align, who's going to be in the ones, who's going to be in the twos on Saturday, because Letterman Rowe and the rest of the Ohio State media finally gets to watch a full, unfiltered practice.
I don't know about we're going to get to watch some of it.
We're going to get to watch quite a bit of Ohio State practice on Saturday. If you can't tell, we're pretty excited. They heard it was Andy's birthday coming up, and like, hey, we got to let him in the building for a practice. That's Tim May, the 41-year vet. That's Andy Backstrom.
He's not the new guy anymore.
No, he's not the new guy
anymore. He's already been through a season or part of a season in a – whatever.
Yeah, he's seen two bowl losses, Ohio State, working to make sure he sees a bowl win. Andy, Tim, Spencer, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to the latest Spring Report. We'll be back in here on Saturday. It's going to be a great, great day for Ohio State football. We're going to break it all down at Letterman Row like we do all year round. $1 for your first month. That's right, $1 for your first month gets you through the spring game, into the prime recruiting season, and into the offseason.
That's cheaper than Peacock.
It certainly is, Tim. We'll see you guys over at LettermanRow.com. And we'll see you guys in here on Saturday for Student Appreciation Day.